Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available as always on iTunes, Stitcher, and NFL.com/Sheck.
S-H-E-K, Sheck.
All right, we're about ready to ship off to Chicago, Illinois. My home during the 20s, my 20s. That's where I lived. And that's a life tip I have for the young person out there. Chicago is about as good a place as you can possibly grow up. However, I mean, or spend your post-college days, your 20s, it's positively festive. And then I think, as I look at who joins us here in Studio 66, Maximum Strength, a guy raised in Chicago, Illinois.
That's right.
Who saw a fit. He had the wanderlust. He had the foresight. I'm getting out of these parts. I'm moving out to Southern California for the fun and sun. He went to Pepperdine and never left. It's Matt Money Smith. What's the poop, fella?
It is wonderful to be back. I am sort of jealous that I will not be joining the two of you
Chicago.
But, you know, I just called the Big Ten tournament, so I was there for 6 days. So nice stretch to be back home, flex my muscles. I gave Bucky a tip. Maybe you will join him. Everybody, you know, they'll drag you out to Al's Beef or Portillo's or Lou Malnati's or something. Sure. You go to the south side, where, you know, a gutter rat like me from the lower class grew up, and there is a place called Rico Bene's that has the breaded steak sandwich with the cheese and the sauce on there that not a lot of people know about.
I've never had it.
It is glorious. It
In Chicago, I've never had it.
You know, it's funny. It's making a comeback. Somebody sent me a link because it's just a dumpy south side. Nobody ever goes to the south side, and I know this is now getting way too much minutia geographically.
No, we're going to be in Chicago for the draft. We can talk
Everybody
about it.
Goes to the north side, or they'll push west a little bit from the Gold Coast, but rarely will they hop on that 94 and head south toward Comiskey Park and dare get off the freeway anywhere in between. They just won't do it. Those were my parts where I kicked around. And this place, Rico Bene's, it's just starting to get some traction here these last couple of years. So now I can tell people to go there again. Go, enjoy it.
Maybe Bucky and I will have to find our way down there.
Got
real
to.
Quick, let's say hello to him. He has been, if you haven't been listening, he is the quarter poll Shecky Award winner for the best guest that we've had here on the Dave Dameshek Football Program for his keen draft insights. It's his busy time, and it's about to all get paid off. Next week in Chicago, Bucky Brooks, what's the poop with you, fella?
What's going on, Sheck? Got my man Money here.
I'll tell you what's going
Dynamic
on.
Dynamic duo is back.
Denzel Perryman is on his way up to Studio 6.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. The
I'm going to do some push-ups. I'm going to do some push-ups just in case we video it. I want to make sure I don't look small around him.
Oh, come on. Don't be. You're not one of those guys.
I saw him in makeup. He was kind of big.
Yeah, he is.
I'm not embellishing here. I mean this literally. His arms, his biceps are larger than my legs. Now, I am the president of the Bird Leg Club here in the United States of America, but I mean that legitimately. His arms are bigger than my legs.
Maybe your waist, too.
Maybe.
To keep yourself nice and svelte. No such luck for Dameshek.
No, I mean, but I wouldn't.
Look at that thing. It's going to get bigger in Chicago. Hey.
Especially if you go to Rico Bene's, it's
going
to get bigger.
Well, Money, I know this is the hoity-toity move to make, but we're doing it anyway. Handsome Hank and I, we are on our ongoing culinary tour across the United States. Next on our list, Gibson Steakhouse.
Okay.
Good call or no?
I'm going to say no for the steak part of it. I do
really?
Believe
I love Gibson's steak.
Here's what I love about Gibson's. Gibson's, and I'm trying to think with the shield hanging out behind Bucky there, how I can word this. So follow me, if you will.
I think I know what you're going to get to.
The great thing about Gibson's is it's where a lot of the folks that work at the Board of Trade and the Merck all go after work. So they're done at about 3:30. They hit up the Gibson's bar, a few pops there, and it's a big bar. It's a great bar. And by about 5 o'clock, well, it turns out there's another market that's to be navigated, and there are deals to be made,
yes,
and there are prices to
different
be exchanged.
Different type businesses.
Yes, for services.
So mingling.
Yes,
there's some
money.
Working people.
Yeah, there you go. Money to be exchanged for, and I always, I'm not, like, I would go there, and I would sit back for hours. I mean, three hours, and just watch the negotiations take place, and it was wildly entertaining. So for that, as long as you're going, you know, I'll say an hour and a half before you're going to sit down and have your piece of meat, I think it is some of the best people watching.
I agree, but the steak is delicious too. You know who I used to always see in there? I mean, really, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody said, oh, yeah, he must have eaten there 4 or 5 nights a week, was Chris Farley. And he was always dressed like, I never can remember the character who lived down by the down
right,
by
motivational
the river.
Speaker.
That guy. And that's exactly how he was always dressed, in this mustard plaid blazer and the black horn rim glasses. And he walked through and you thought like, oh, I love this character. Oh, wait, no, he's not doing a character. He's just here
that's
to
him.
Eat.
yeah, very Gibson's strange. Is great. Gibson's, when I was back, we went to Gina Giorgetti's, which is
I love Gina Giorgetti's. I was
same,
about that.
Same bartender, same old guy who by now, I don't know how old he is. He's got to be in his late 80s, but he looks exactly the same as he looked 25 years ago when I started going there. And the girl I was with, she orders a 3 wise men. She's like, I'm good. This was a long day. My boss over
you it. You met her at Gibson's?
No. I negotiated a price.
Let's go get a steak.
We went to Gina Giorgetti's for steak. She orders a 3 wise men, and the guy looks at her and goes, what? A what? I go, just tell him you want a bourbon on there. No, I want them all. I want the 3. And it was hilarity ensued.
Money telling the story of his family, his uncles, and going up to the bar and just say, I want booze.
Booze.
Give me 3 fingers of booze.
Booze, kid. Booze. Yeah, that was my Uncle Ray. Booze.
You don't specify what kind. You just tell them booze, and they have to figure it
they
out.
They have to know that means bourbon, that you're pouring the guy. And I was like five people back, and I'm trying to get eye contact with the kid going, bourbon. He wants bourbon. Booze, well, sir. What do you mean booze?
Be sure you tune in iHeartRadio AM 570, Matt Money Smith, Petros and Money, Petros Papadakis. Also, Rich with the stories. The one about Bobby Moore, a.k.a. Ahmad Rashad is my favorite of them all. But right now, let's kibitz about this draft. Or what do you think, Black Tie? While we have Money, time is precious with him. He is an NBA guru. He is really about as wise on pro basketball as
that
anyone
makes three
you
of
talk
us.
To.
That makes 3 of us in here.
No.
3.
Yeah.
Who are you? I know Black Tie likes to make jokes like he understands it, but he doesn't.
I get the sense that Black Tie is he believes he could sit in like Hubie Brown's chair based on his Twitter feed. Like his Twitter feed is not snarky, it's not observations, it is legitimate analysis. I'm here helping you understand this game and what needs to happen.
Daryl Morey and the rest are just they're sitting on their mobile devices waiting for
Black
word
Tie.
To be handed down. Yes. From Black Tie. Yes. That is the way he phrases. Black Tie's tweets come out as though he's advising pro basketball decision makers.
Might want to come back with Glenn Davis here for the last 2 minutes of the second quarter. those are the tweets that he lobs out during a basketball game.
True story. So before the Clippers-Spurs game last night, before the final possession, and Clippers lost 6 seconds left, right? Coming out of timeout. My tweet was, Pop's about to put Kawhi and CP3 here. He's going to need to go somebody else. I wasn't able to send the tweet because my wireless died out, but that's exactly what happened. Come out of break. Yes, Kawhi. Yeah, yeah.
That's something. Wait, so the guy who of course was going to take the shot ended up taking the shot, and you.
No. It was the fact that
this is what Black Tie's doing. Listen, I know Kawhi Leonard is a 6'9" forward, but he can guard 4 positions. So I, being the wise man that I am in things of round ball, am going to put him on CP3 and ensure that he doesn't even get a chance to take that last shot that could be my fortune, that could determine my future. Right, T.D.?
Me and Pop. On the same wavelength.
Yeah. Me and Papa. And he believes that.
Why did he hire that woman to be his assistant coach when he could have hired young Kobe, a.k.a. Black Tie?
Women have a place in the league, too, you know?
No, I'm not saying that, but I mean, with your wisdom, I would think that they would want you on a bench.
Young Kobe.
Are you part of the group that just purchased the Atlanta Hawks? Are you one of the silent partners?
I might be moving home to Atlanta.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Really carve out a spot for you. So, all right, Money, before we jump into some draft stuff, what about it? What do you think about that Spurs Clip series?
It's a damn shame that it's in the first round. Those are two of the, I'd say, 3 best teams in the Western Conference, and one of them is going to get the boot in the first round. The problem crept up last night that I had after the first game when everyone was essentially anointing the Clippers as the victor in that series, and that was when Blake Griffin's playing 43 minutes and Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan are playing 39, that can't happen through the course of a seven-game series. And you saw it in that fourth quarter, even though they had a nice comeback there at the end. They're just heavy-legged. I mean, they're dead tired. And I'm not saying that DeAndre Jordan's going to hit those free throws if he's not as tired and had played as many minutes as he had. But it certainly helps when you're not fatigued and you got to go to the free throw line.
Not only him, the other guys. J.J. Redick missed free throws. He never misses.
Never misses.
Matt Barnes missed, what, 3 out of 4 the last couple minutes?
They were just
couldn't
dead
hit
tired.
Layups. Like, they just don't play their bench enough. Like, they don't have enough weapons to help them against the
team. You know, I can't recall, and that's what Black Tie and I were arguing about in advance of the series was, you know, I don't think, forget the Spurs. I think the Clippers as well. I don't think there's anybody in that organization that going into the series thought that the Clippers could beat them 4 out of 7. I mean, legitimately, there is no reason. I know that there's a swagger to CP3 in particular, but I think even Matt Barnes, you hear whispers that even he doubts the guts of the guys around him because he's always the guy.
He's one of the reasons.
Yeah, I'll tell you the other reason is, and it's the same reason you just brought up. I think their bench played 43 minutes. The Spurs bench played 108 minutes. That's the difference. In 11 of those 43 minutes, I don't count because they were played by Austin Rivers, bar none, the worst NBA player in the entire league. I will take 10-day contract. Vander Blue. What?
You see the layup he hit?
Oh, yeah. Oh, hey.
He hit the layup running hard left and threw it back over his
right. Do you watch Mad Men Money?
I don't.
The creator of the show, Matt Weiner. His son, I just found this out, plays the pseudo love interest of Don Draper's daughter and ex-wife. It's a weird story if you don't follow it.
Mad Men.
He is the all-time
and ex-wife.
No, Weiner's son, son, in the show plays this kid who periodically shows up. We met him when he was 13-ish, and now he's 18.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. I gotcha.
And he is hands down the worst actor ever, and it's clearly nepotism. Which is the worst case of nepotism, I wonder? Well, there's two good ones there that Austin Rivers died.
Well, I'll tell you this about Austin. He played high school ball in Orlando. He actually has
you
a
young
scorer's
coach.
Mentality. It's just that...
Did you see the shot that he had on the right baseline that nearly nearly killed someone sitting courtside he missed everything and it ricocheted off the side of the backboard?
If you're in the NBA, you have a scorer's mentality. What do you think? What guy? Like, yep, I was the fourth option in my high school
team. That's not true. Not every... Not,
I think everybody was. Probably
but
filled
he,
it up
he
good.
Still believes he is, and he's not as athletic enough. He can't
finish. Athletic, he's terrible. He's terrible defensively, and I don't get this, Austin Rivers going to give us 10 minutes of good defense. No, he's not. The answer to that is no, he's not.
I
will promise you this. If Doc does not re-sign him next year, save a favor done to Glenn Doc Rivers by one of his other guys in the fraternal organization of coaching, Austin Rivers will not be on the team. He won't. He's not. That was 11 wasted minutes, Bucky. And you should be echoing my anger because you're a North Carolina guy and Austin Rivers a Duke guy.
Big shot against USC.
The one saving grace. I'm just annoyed in watching the Clippers game because they fought so hard to come back. And I felt like for a team that should be gutty and gritty, like when Blake Griffin turned it over, they were done. The body language that the Clippers exhibited was horrible. He couldn't get out of his own way after that point. Matt Barnes can't hit a layup. It's tough. And I could look at Chris Paul and see that he was clearly agitated that the guy that they're trying to be the number one or the focal point of the team can't deliver in the clutch.
I mean, I go back to where I was before this series. I love the pieces individually and where they were headed and everything else. They just got a brutal draw in getting the Spurs there. And now, I go back to where I was. Are the Clippers really going to go into San Antonio and steal one of these next two? I don't know.
With the amount of minutes they have to play, the fact that Spencer Hawes didn't even get off the bench, I mean, it's just crazy. Glenn Petro says this all the time. Glenn, I feel bad. Now I'm pulling the Draymond Green, Glenn Rivers. Doc, the general manager, let down Doc, the coach, this year. I mean, and that's just that's the sad reality. It's not on all these people going after Blake Griffin last night. Oh, that's the, most meaningless empty triple-double. Shut up. I mean, okay, fine. He coughed up the ball. It squirted away from him in the last possession. they're down by 35 points if Blake Griffin is not
He played great.
And they're and it goes back to what we just said. You're tired. You got to fight to come back from a double-digit deficit in the fourth quarter when you played 45 of 48 minutes. You are dead stinking
I'll tell you. You know what? You know what really might end up happening, too? I can absolutely see the – talk about a bad matchup. Golden State getting Memphis in the next round is no cakewalk.
It's an interesting one just because Memphis is now healthy. You know, so I don't know. You know, I don't see how Memphis can score enough points to keep up with Golden State. But
they're gonna make it ugly.
Yeah, they're a different looking team right now with Mike Conley and Marc Gasol looking like
Conley
and Tony Allen.
I think we had this conversation Black Tie maybe 8 months or so ago. Conley, when people love that let's rank the point guards thing in the NBA, Mike Conley is always left off that list, but he's dynamite out there defensively as well.
Well, he's really good. He's really good at everything, but not great at anything. So he's a guy that
He sat up in his chair like,
how about that
I'm
kind
the
of
general
analysis?
Manager, I'm going to break this down for you.
No, but I've always said if I was
young Kobe.
So pleased with himself.
I like his floor. If I was, unfortunately, his ceiling's only about 7.5 feet tall. That's the one problem. The funny thing what you just said, though, about Mike Conley is whenever people make those lists, they always check themselves by saying, look, I wanted to put Mike Conley on this list. I left him off. Like, that's the one guy they always point out. Like, listen, he was really close. It pained me to leave Mike Conley off this list.
Oh, and that reminds me, we buried the lead here. You know, Godspeed in his recovery to Rajon Rondo from his
The back ailment.
The back.
Yeah.
Did you see him take the charge?
Who knows where that back injury came from.
He took the charge from James Harden and hurt his back.
Oh, stop it.
Did you see that? He took the charge.
You know how
that's what it is.
This is what's so great about Rajon Rondo this year is, first of all, help me figure out the last time we saw a point guard shooting 33% from the free throw line over the course of a season.
It's insane.
You know how, like I think back to that Clipper game last night, you know, I would say if you asked a casual fan who's the worst free throw shooter in the NBA, probably 8 out of 10 would say DeAndre Jordan. What happens when DJ gets fouled at half court? Tries to pretend like he's shooting a three, right? Hey, I want to take.
He should have got the three shots.
I want to take three free throws. Rajon Rondo, like when he gets fouled under the basket, instead of trying to put a shot up, he pretends like he's passing, so he doesn't have to go to the free throw line. Side out of bounds, right, ref? I'm not going to the line, right? We're doing side out. You saw it. I wasn't shooting there. I was passing the ball. I'm not going to the line. Keep me off the line, referee.
I just know that I cannot wait until the Kobe Rondo Lakers of 2015/16 hit the floor. That's going to be something. You think the last couple of years have been ridiculous? That's going to be even.
Oh, that'd be great.
Well,
I think they're going to do that.
It'd be great theater.
I think they're going to. Was that you who mentioned that?
The Lakers are in a mode of we have to sign someone. Somebody has got to take our money this offseason. It doesn't have to be LaMarcus Aldridge or Marc Gasol. It'd be great if it would be. But Jimmy Butler, max contract. Here it is. Kawhi Leonard, max deal. Here you go. They are going to sign someone. And as far as we know, Rajon Rondo is the only guy that has sort of publicly acknowledged that, along with Goran Dragic, that he would like to play for the Lakers. So he's going to get offered a lot of money by them.
All right, and it looks like LeBron, although I'll tell you, if Mirotic is all right, I don't know that they absolutely have to have him, but the way he played, but assuming he's in good health, that's another team. The idea that LeBron's Cavs are in the finals, I don't know that that's a guarantee if the Bulls have all their pieces out there.
What I love about Mirotic is this. When, and this is probably going to come out sounding horrible, but I don't care because I am divided into fours, all right? I am a European mutt. I am 25% Irish, English, Croatian, and Hungarian. So I feel as though I can make these statements and hide behind a shield of I'm talking about my own people, okay? I can say these things. The great thing about Mirotic is he looks like a man that represents his country.
That's so true.
With that beard, his teeth, his deep-set eyes, I mean, he looks like if they were, like, saying, this is what someone from a Bloc nation should look like, so you know that that's the country they're representing when they come across the pond. Like, I wish Dirk had a short, bleach blonde side part. You know, his broad shoulders. That's I want Pau Gasol to have a Salvador Dali mustache. Yes. Like that's what
the
I want.
Personification of the nation.
Exactly.
You
that's what I love most about Mirotić.
All right. Well, what's the American one look like then? Who is the personification physically of America?
JJ Redick.
Well, maybe you're America. I was thinking like Oliver Miller, you know, overweight.
I was trying to summon an almost great athlete, but who let himself go.
I think Oliver Miller personified.
Late stages Shaq Fu.
There you go.
His old pal Stanley Roberts. Oh, you know, some of those guys.
How about TD with J.J. Redick? Yeah, because that's what all of our basketball players look like.
Chris Kamen. Well, his German.
Chris Kamen?
Chris Kamen.
Oh, black.
The self-hatred over there, right? Black Tech. Can we get Big Baby Davis to somebody?
Exactly. That's a good one. That's a good one.
All right. Now, this is a football show, so let's talk touch of football here real fast. I did for the second year in a row. I like it, you know, because you get no matter how much draft you talk and how much you love it and you pour over Bucky Brooks and Jeremiah's and Charles Davis's mock drafts incessantly – you get a little fatigued from the same conversation over and over again.
Now you're insulting your guest.
We now know it's Jameis. No, well, you know, by the way, I was wondering, what do you guys think? Radio City last year, being within those four walls, I'd never seen a reaction like the Johnny Manziel, not even once he got taken. Just the anticipation when you knew that there was a potential fit there. The Rams are going to take him. The buzz in the building was wild. And then when it was the Cowboys, it was electric that you thought, Jerry Jones ain't going to let him go. And the awes, the groans when they did, and the payoff finally of him getting drafted by the ne'er-do-well Browns was something. What will be the closest to that this year?
Nothing.
I think I have one. I mean, it's not going to match it by any means, but I have one I think that will get the biggest jump from the crowd.
I don't know if there's any buzz.
I'll tell you what it's going to be. Todd Gurley to the New York Jets. People are going to go wild. That's what's going to happen.
Well, Jets fans go wild over everything.
Well, this is in Chicago.
Yeah, but they'll be there. I think you'll still have a gangrene.
You don't think people go
there.
Wild when the first RB goes off the board?
I don't think they're going to go wild over anybody because the two prominent names that we've discussed ad nauseum have been Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston, and neither one of those guys are in the building. And
what likelihood do you guys think there is then that that Mariota goes through the Aaron Rodgers,
here's, you know what?
Quinn,
here's what I'll
sitting
say.
There forever?
Just to go back to your last question, there is something that could happen, and that is that Roger Goodell steps to the podium and says,
"There you go.
We have to announce a trade. The Eagles have jumped into the number two spot and are now on the clock." And people will lose their minds. Because Eagle fans are as passionate at the draft as those Bears fans.
Well, I don't know about the fan base, but if they announce, obviously, that the Tennessee Titans have traded
to the Eagles.
Or if they say the San Diego Chargers traded Phil Rivers for the second pick.
But I think even bigger than Phil Rivers to Tennessee, if Chip Kelly trades up to get Marcus, and we now get to see Chip Kelly, offensive genius, with his trigger man that he wants, and he's going to show everyone in the NFL how it's supposed to be done. I think that freaks people out.
What do you think that that's a realistic possibility, though, at this point, Buck? Because the investment in, at least in PR, I mean, that, for whatever that's worth, in Sam Bradford's our guy, then they also pay to get Sanchez back. The Tebow nonsense.
They didn't pay Sanchez that much. Tebow is.
I know, but they've rostered Tebow and Sanchez, two guys who are at least names. Do you really think that they would broom all those plans and at this point, given that they made the move for Bradford and so on?
I think they will explore it. I don't know if they can get up to number two, but I think if Mariota dips a little bit and there's the potential for him to be at a nice spot, I think you have to explore it if you're Chip Kelly because – if you are really tied to running this system and you have a young guy that you really can put out there and do the things as a run-pass quarterback that you like to do, that you've done at Oregon, yeah, I think it makes sense for them. I also think, like, all coaches have hefty egos, and I think Chip Kelly would love to show people that my way works. Like, we all are built like that. I think there's some fascination with I want to play up-tempo, collegiate style. When everyone says that we can't do it, I want to do it. And I want to show you that I'm the
Well, that's why I guess if you're you want drama as you're watching the draft next week, then you what the thing to root for is for the Titans to go Leonard Williams or anyone else. You don't want them to, because if the longer Mariota twists out there, the more likely it is that other teams are going to try and get into a spot and grab him. But you watch. I you know, again, with Gurley to the Jets, they will rue not taking him. And by the way, the Jags should take him too.
The Jags should take who?
Should take
Todd Gurley.
Should take Todd Gurley. I'm telling you, you wait and see. Now, I'm not an evaluator of interior linemen, but I of the guys that I eyeballed consistently in college football the last couple of years, that guy is going to be dynamite.
He is dynamite, but I don't know if we've ever seen an injured guy go
that high.
That high.
But and here's what I would combat that with is just
Jadeavion Clowney.
Look at this. Yeah, there you go.
He's injured coming out.
Didn't he have a health?
Not like a torn ACL though. Think about this offseason and who got paid what. DeMarco Murray dominates the league last year from the running back position. He goes to Philadelphia because, if you believe the rumors, the Cowboys never had any interest in giving him that kind of money. You know, they just played the game and then let somebody take him. And Ndamukong Suh goes down to Miami for over $100 million. So
fair point.
When you're drafting that high, you know, and you can get your hands on a Leonard Williams or a, you know, pick your pass rusher, that's just naturally that's
just
the way it's
going to
go.
Just on draft day, it's the clever term. People talk about the devaluation of the running back. They are devalued on draft day, but they're not diminished in importance. People are just seeing that most of the top runners are coming from the same area, second, third round. Like Le'Veon Bell was a second-round pick. Shady McCoy,
but like that's my recurring point. Like I've been saying, the Lacy Bell factor, those guys of that pedigree won't make it to the second round this year. So teams are going to get antsier because they're going to understand we can't wait and still land that level.
I don't know. I mean, Duke Johnson, Tevin Coleman. I mean, you got some guys.
There are a lot of guys.
I love, you know, he's an Indiana Hoosier, so I'm behind him.
How convenient. You now mention your alma mater, huh?
What I'm about to say will undermine that. Tevin Coleman, talk about a guy. Because scout types like yourself, Buck, talk about high runners and how that doesn't translate in the NFL.
It doesn't.
He's a high runner, and he's a 6'1", 6'.
He reminds me of Darren McFadden.
Yeah,
when
right.
I look at Darren McFadden play, very similar. And I look at Tevin Coleman, they play in a very similar fashion. And I'm going to be honest, my buddy's his age, and he represents him. I know he's going to take me to task for it. I don't know if I've ever seen him break a tackle. And I think if you're going for a running back with small legs and all that, he doesn't break tackles, and the pro game is about running through contact. And if you're a running back, if you can't run through contact or if you're not exceptional at making people miss, you have a tough time picking up 4 and 5 yards consistently.
So much of NFL lore, though, it revolves around the high-profile running back. As a fan of the game, I look forward to that coming back. And I do think Gurley and Gordon – and is it in that order? Because Mayock, I guess, now says he puts Gordon ahead of Gurley and then Duke Johnson 3. Is that the way it shakes out for you, fellas?
Well, I like those three. I mean, I think you can put it in that order. If Gurley was healthy, I think you lean towards Gurley over Gordon because he's a three-down running back. He can run inside and outside. He's also a factor catching the ball out the backfield. Melvin Gordon, I think, is different than all of those other Wisconsin backs. He's not a system player. He has special features and dimensions. The one thing that you don't know, can he be an effective player out of the backfield? I think he can. I think he can end up being a Jamal Charles-like player. But I just think if you're looking at the two, Gurley and Gordon, Gurley's more like Marshawn Lynch, and I think you're out for the bigger, more physical running back than the other.
Hear me now. Believe me later. You can tweet me in 2 years or 4 years, whenever it is, clear that Todd Gurley is one of the two best running backs in the NFL. You'll remember.
He's fun to watch. I mean, when he was healthy, it was fun to watch him play at Georgia. No doubt about it.
But don't sleep in the SEC. No,
don't sleep on Duke Johnson. Duke Johnson is a special running back. He was banged up a little bit at Miami, but he has nice skills.
Money, before you run out of here, real fast. Given what you know about the way the Chicago Bears are constituted, you know Jay Cutler is there. You know they've got Forte. You know the pieces there. If you could take any football player in history, who would it be to fill what the 2015 Chicago Bears need?
Oh, this given is their okay. Needs. Given their needs, Reggie White.
Reggie White. Yeah. That's a great pick. Yeah,
even though they're going to a 3-4 defense, I don't care. Give me the most devastating pass rusher in the history of the league. Yeah, he could. But I'm just saying now that they're looking for maybe an outside linebacker.
And also, like, Bunny's pick goes, it marries very well with what John Fox traditionally does when he takes over a program. Every time he's taken over a team, he's always put his first pick into a dominant pass rusher. He did it at Carolina with Julius Peppers. In Denver, he did it with Von Miller. Chicago.
I guess I could go Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
You know, Lawrence Taylor
Lawrence
or Reggie
Taylor,
White.
Reggie White. He's going to take a dominant pass rusher because he believes it's essential to building a championship defense.
Well, I bring this up because for the second time, I have put together the all-time draft for this year. The all-time draft of 2015 is now available at NFL.com. I encourage you. Nay, demand that you check it out, Bucky, because I think it is up your alley. It'll bring a fresh look to the proceedings here. What I did
I'm surprised at the number one pick.
Well, what I did
I don't want to be a spoiler alert, but I'm surprised.
I took the actual draft
the number
order.
One pick. I get it.
I did the entire draft order.
It was very clever.
As it is.
The number one pick was very clever is what it
Tampa
was.
Tampa Bay has the first overall pick, of course, and they have specific needs that you know about. Wide receiver, of course. Even if Jerry Rice was on the board, if you didn't know that he was going to become the greatest receiver or perhaps greatest football player of all time, of course you would take Jerry Rice over Mike Evans and Vincent Jackson. But if you only knew him based on his college deeds, of course they would skip him and take a quarterback. So I did this for each team drafting in the round here.
I got it. But
all right, I'm explaining to the listener. What do you mean?
Anybody know Jerry Rice's college mascot?
Yes, I do.
Lucky?
Delta Devil.
Delta Devils.
Of course,
one of the greatest of all. One of the great mascots in college football history.
But some of the worst uniforms.
But a great mascot.
Definitely.
Bad, very like World Football League-esque uniforms, but great mascot.
Yeah, I know Bucky will get this. Can you name who threw the ball to?
I cannot.
I think I can. I'm going to – Bucky doesn't know either.
Is it, it's all world or is it so, is something in a planet?
No, I don't
all
think
world?
So.
All world, yeah.
The quarterback?
Yeah, it's quarterbacks.
I think.
He has a nickname.
Black Tie, can you please look it up? I think it is.
It's all world.
Henry Tuttle.
Yeah, but he has a nickname.
I didn't ask about his nickname.
Well, you got to call him by the nickname.
I don't have to do anything.
You got a nickname,
if Magic Johnson walks through the door, you can be like, hey, Irvin.
Oh.
So what? Maybe I would be that way. One. And two, you don't know what I would call him. And two, wait, I didn't ask you his nickname.
You're on three.
What his name is. Here's how you – all right, I'm going to – little showdown here now. Money v. Buck. Who can get this one then? I thought you guys like college football.
All I do is mascots. That's where my knowledge is based.
I do love that touch that you do with any football player or college or basketball player you interview. You always reference
the mascot. And they don't know what I'm talking about. They're like, what? That's the name of our mascot? No.
The most embarrassing thing ever was when I went to Clippers practice many years ago and asked every guy on the team what a Clipper was.
I remember that.
Only one guy knew.
They didn't know what a Clipper was.
It's like something that cut your hair?
Yes.
No, you're thinking, what is your logo, scissors? What do you mean? Your logo isn't scissors, man. Anyway, here's my trivia question for you. You had Eric Dickerson. And you had Craig James in the Pony Express. Mm-hmm. Who was the guy taking the snap and handing it off to one of them? Or perhaps keeping it himself and running a little option. You don't know that one, Buck?
I don't know that one.
I'll tell you who was snapping the ball, Dale Hellestray. How you like that?
Whoa.
How you like that?
Pretty good. Lance McElhaney.
Oh, McElhaney. How about that exchange, by the way? Hellestray to McElhaney. What a great connection.
All right, buddy. You got to go. What do you want me to do?
We got Denzel Perryman walking the studio right now.
Oh. I'm just kind of getting started.
Well, I'm going to make room for him. As I mentioned, his arms are larger than
my body.
Matt
Money Smith. NFL draft coverage begins next Thursday. Matt Money Smith quarterbacking there. In fact, splitting duties, sort of like Ohio State. In 2015.
There will be,
I think, three or four different quarterbacks.
Are you Braxton Miller or are you Cardale
Jones? Oh, that's a good question. I'm guessing I am Braxton Miller because I'm old. I've got a stiff back. I've got I've got family in town that I have to tend to on Saturday. So the young talent, Marcus, is going to come in and take over for me on Saturday morning.
Well, no, that makes you Cardale then. For his famous tweet, like, I got things to do. Don't I have other things to do besides do Saturday draft coverage? Come on.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah, but I guess what I'm getting at is, I'm sure I'll be fired within the next 6 months. It's just the way these things work. I'm old. I'm old and irrelevant. Thank you, gentlemen.
The great Matt Money.
Rico Benes, Chicago. Breaded steak sandwich.
What are you, Matt Money Smith?
At Matt Money Smith.
At Matt Money Smith on Twitter. Like I say, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, wall to wall, legitimately.
Every
wall to wall coverage. Every single pick.
Literally, every pick will be shown.
NFL.com, NFL Now, Yahoo, so on and so forth.
It's going to be hard for me to work in all the mascots on the third day. I'm going to do it, but it's not going to be easy, and my bosses are not going to be happy with me. But, you know, when the Western Kentucky schmoo needs to be acknowledged, the Western Kentucky schmoo will be acknowledged.
That's not true, is it?
Well, he's just that big red blob. He's a hilltopper. But,
hilltopper.
Yeah,
right.
The mascot is just a red blob of schmoo.
Like.
That's all it is. It's just, there he is. It's a blob.
All right. Well, we'll see if his NBA predictions come to fruition. Buck, real fast, Black Tie wants us to move on to because he doesn't want us to be a rude host here. But real fast, the all-time draft, you said that you didn't love or you thought the first pick was cute. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, if you were the GM, given the pieces that they have, you know, they have some nice pieces up front on defense. Gerald McCoy is as good as it gets there. They have, all three levels really there. They have the good receivers. They have a bad offensive line. Where do they go?
Well, they have to have a quarterback.
Yes, they do.
And they need to have a really good quarterback with a strong arm.
Can take anybody.
That can get the ball out.
Not Joe Montana, you understand, because you wouldn't know.
His arm.
Even if you did, but you wouldn't know if it was based on his college deeds, he wouldn't go in the first round. He didn't go in the first round in the real draft.
No, his arm wasn't strong enough. I mean, gosh, I think I want to go to, was it 1983
mm-hmm.
with all the quarterbacks that came out?
Yep.
I think I want a gunslinger. I'm going to go with my former teammate. How about that? I'm someone that's near and dear to your heart. How about I go with Jim Kelly?
I love it, Jim Kelly.
How about that?
You know, Jim Kelly, again, that's something that I have talked about. The syndrome of the USFL and the way it sort of affected, not tarnished, but it did change the way we perceive a lot of guys. Jim Kelly probably came through it best and, you know, a Hall of Fame and those four Super Bowl appearances and everything else. And still, had he not spent those years in Houston for the Gamblers and instead had gone straight to the Bills, his profile in pro football history would be even greater. Mike Rozier wins the Heisman at Nebraska, then wastes time in the USFL. He never really bounces back from that. Herschel Walker, talk about getting a beating. He spent those years playing for the USFL, 18 games.
Yeah, 3 years.
And they were 18 games, and he went for over 2,000 yards and all that jazz. But by the time he reached the NFL, he had a couple good years with the Cowboys.
Never quite the same Herschel that we saw at Georgia. So
that's right.
I do agree.
Would you say – that's a great question, as a matter of fact. Coming out of college, give me – because your brain then adjusts after we see how whether or not they deliver in the NFL. Coming out of college – who were 2 to 5 of the guys who you said, this guy isn't just going to be great, he's going to be an all-timer? Have you ever seen a guy and said, guarantee this guy, Hall of Fame, he'll be one of the best we've ever seen?
Okay, I'm going to qualify myself. I was a kid. I grew up in North Carolina. I always was a Tar Heel fan. So when they used to have picture day at Keenan Stadium, I had an opportunity to meet Lawrence Taylor very early. Mm-hmm. Lawrence Taylor, to me, was everything. He was the most dominant player that I saw as a kid. And so he was the one guy that I remember following. I remember, like, my dad and I watching his games, not only at Chapel Hill, but then when he eventually went to the Giants, he was the one guy that I absolutely loved. The other guy that I just wanted to emulate and be like when I would take the ball out in the yard, Marcus Allen, when he was at SC.
Hmm.
Marcus Allen running around and – remember, this is the time when SC was tailback you, Charles White,
and everybody Billy Sims, if you aren't familiar with those guys.
Everybody who was a tailback at SC was like a big deal. And so for me,
in fact,
Marcus Allen
wore 33 out of deference to Charles White, who was the SC tailback at the time, and Billy Sims at Oklahoma.
He was another one.
He was one of my very favorites and would have gone down as one of the best ever.
I take my face mask because – though you have to go all the way back. Billy Sims, when he was at Detroit with the Lions, he would take it like the athletic tape, and he would put it on like the little parts of his face mask, the bars. So when I was a kid playing Pop Warner, playing Little League or whatever, I would put that on between those guys and Eric Dickerson. I always wanted a cowboy collar and rec specs because when he was with the Pony Express, SMU, he scored touchdowns. Like, it was cool to have rec specs and a cowboy collar.
What about the Jerry curl? If you're going to ED, you got to go.
That was never my deal. I was never a Jerry
What did
curl.
Billy Sims do as he would go into the end zone?
The airplane.
Cool. He would do an airplane and tilt to the side. That was so good.
Shaq, when you're 7 and 8 years old and you're playing ball and you're not supposed to do those things, but yet you idolize those kind of guys, a lot of penalties.
Billy Sims was one of my favorites. Tony Dorsett, my old man, told me, and my grandfather before him, they said, this guy is going to be unbelievable. And they still say, had he gotten 4 more touches a game with the Cowboys, he would have retired as the all-time leading rusher. I don't know that his body would have sustained that. Either way, I also, by the way, you know, when I'm growing up in Pittsburgh, Dan Marino, I would go to Pitt Stadium for every home game. My old man was working with the team at that point. So I went to see, so I got to meet Dan Marino, Hugh Green.
He was like
Ricky Jackson, Hall of Fame.
All those guys. Carolina played those guys up there.
I remember that with Calvin Bryant. Talk about a USFL victim. Calvin Bryant would have been a generational running back.
You know,
he was a great catching out ball out of the backfield and everything.
He never was the same because he got hurt at Carolina his senior year. Kelvin Bryant in 4 games or 5 games, he had 17 touchdowns. And they were playing East Carolina and blowing them out. And I want to say in that game, he hurt his knee, and he was never quite the same after that. But Kelvin Bryant was the dude. And, in fact, you talked about Todd Gurley. Kelvin Bryant and Todd Gurley are from the same hometown, Tarboro, North Carolina. And, in fact, we thought – meaning we Carolina fans thought that Todd Gurley would come because we thought that Kelvin Bryant would have a positive influence and he would want to be a Tar Heel as well.
All right, one more college football trivia question for Bucky Brooks. This is a UNC-friendly one.
Before you do that, though.
You just referred to the game. Wait, hold on a second. Well, I got
to
ask.
It goes back to what you were just talking about, what? All-time players. Bucky, do you see any all-time players in the 2015 draft?
All-time.
Who's going to the Hall of Fame?
Whoa.
I mean, in the past few drafts, we've had Andrew Luck in 2012. We've had Odell Beckham in 2014. Possibly.
Oh, we're putting Odell Beckham in the Hall of Fame.
That's a fun game to play is who's going to the Hall of Fame.
Who's going to the Hall of Fame in this draft? Man, I am very partial to Jameis, but the odds suggest that it'd be a position player, not a quarterback.
How many guys per draft class go on average?
I don't know.
There must be a – I don't know how we would –
But I'm going to say this. I will go out on a different limb, and I will say
– You're going to say Leonard Williams because you already said he's the best player.
He's the best, but I'm not going to say that like Hall of Famer. I would say that Amari Cooper has a better chance of going to the Hall of Fame than anybody else, and this is why. Receivers, the way they're throwing the ball in the National Football League now, I think he has an opportunity to ring up big numbers, provided he goes to the right spot. I think – talent-wise, will we say he's a transcendent star? I won't say that. But in terms of being ready to play, being able to be a right now, give instant contributions, I think he can be that guy.
It's funny you say that, though, because I moved the stakes yesterday with Daniel Jeremiah. His guy was Kevin White. You're a Amari Cooper guy.
Yeah,
to go to the Hall of Fame?
Well, that's
his guy.
The question was phrased more so like, who's the one guy in this draft you definitely want on your team? And he went Kevin White.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, we go back and forth. What's so funny about that? What's so funny about Daniel's thing is all fall, he was the biggest Amari Cooper guy. He was Amari Cooper from June all the way through. And then somewhere it got changed. Black Tie, because you're on both, you have to ask him what happened. He wanted Amari Cooper to win the Heisman Trophy. Where did it go awry?
I like this. You know what we should do? You know how you can leave
scout versus scout.
You know how you can leave notes for people? Like, we should use Black Tie to be a carrier pigeon to just usher messages
Raven
between the shows. I love this idea that we just
send
we should we just leave a question on one show and kick it on to the next show.
Yeah,
it's a good. So that's your what happened. So Bucky Brooks, Daniel Jeremiah, what happened? Why did you – here's the answer to that question, by the way, Bucky. Because now, don't you see, Daniel Jeremiah can say he was right no matter how it shakes out.
Yeah, because on both
8 years
on both
from
things,
now,
yeah.
I told you Amari Cooper was great. Listen, dig up my old recordings. You can hear me say that I thought he was the best player. Oh, Kevin White's the best. Dig up my recordings. I said it.
Yeah.
See how that works,
yeah,
Bucky?
Conviction. Yeah.
My trivia question for you is this. You mentioned the game, UNC-Pitt. 1982, mm-hmm. Pitt in Three River Stadium, not Pitt Stadium.
Yeah.
You remember that game? It was a national TV game. When
yeah,
they
Carolina won.
It was a night game. It was a primetime game.
Carolina won. It was a defensive struggle.
Oh, okay, good. So you do remember something.
I remember parts of it.
82. Remember what the final score was?
What was it, like 10-8 or 10-7, something like that? 6-3?
7-6.
Dominated them.
It made me sick.
Dominated.
That game sickened me because Pitt was number one in that season, but Jackie Sherrill had just left to take the A&M job.
It wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah, it would.
It wouldn't
have mattered. And Calvin Bryant, I believe, scored the only touchdown. If I remember correctly, it was a screen pass.
Shaq, I've told you, it's all about wearing our blue. Like, I'm telling you.
I like where your head's
at. Look, Carolina unveiled their new uniforms. The blue is out. The Argyle, they call it Targyle. The Targyle, our blue. I'm excited. You just verified and confirmed. We're budding powerhouse. People forget how good Carolina football is.
That's not the path
powerhouse
that UNC or Pitt fans want to go down. Our respective last 12 years as fans of those college teams has yielded many good NFL players, and yet 6-6 or 7-5 seasons pretty consistent.
Yeah, we're back, though. We're bouncing back, though.
All right, Pitt 2. All right, so to pay off what I said 20 minutes ago, the quarterback that I gave to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers from all time in history, Steve Young, quarterback, Brigham Young University.
Yeah, how did it work out, though?
What do you mean, how did it work out? We haven't seen yet. They just drafted him. We'll see how he does with Jameis.
I'm having a premonition that Steve Young doesn't play very well for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He just has a tough time in the creamsicle orange.
Well, no, that's why he wears those ridiculous digital for that team. If you were the Tennessee Titans then, who would you take? All time, any player. Any player. I'm going to ask you the same with Jacksonville, since those are the first three picks, and then we'll move on.
Tennessee, we still need another quarterback. So if I took Jim Kelly in my draft one,
right,
I'll go with Dan Marino, two, in Tennessee. How about that?
You aren't worried about the off-the-field little question marks we've heard about, whispers out of Pittsburgh?
We're okay.
All right. I mean, he had a terrific junior year, but then he loses that game to your Tar Heels in primetime, 7-6. He doesn't even put a touchdown up. That doesn't concern you?
Defense. Defense is better.
Who would the Jacksonville Jaguars take? Any player in history, given their needs.
Well, Jacksonville needs a running back.
Yeah.
Now, the logical choice would be to take Emmitt Smith, since he's the all-time rushing leader. However.
Oh, and he'd be a hometown kid or from
be
the
nice.
Region. Yeah,
yeah, but I'm going to go with Sweetness.
I'm
going to give them some spunk because they don't have any transcendent players on their squad right now. I need something to allow them to be in primetime so we can tune in. We go Walter Payton.
All right. I went with the Tennessee Titans taking Reggie White, defensive end Tennessee. I think the regional, the in-state fans will love
you're
this.
Doing some of that USFL localized regional rights
That's
type
right.
stuff.
Reggie White played for the Memphis Showboats. Yeah. Good for you, Buck. That's right, for the USFL. And then the Jacksonville Jaguars. I gave them Jim Brown, running back, Syracuse. He's a tremendous athlete.
I like
He'll
that.
Give them some toughness that they need.
I like that. I like a little more flash. But, yeah, Jim Brown, you can't go wrong. That's nice.
And for the rest of that, I encourage you, like I say, go to NFL.com. The all-time draft of 2015, I've made my selections. Feel free to let me know if you agree or disagree. But right now, Buck, let's get to it. Our special guest in front of the draft, he's going to hear his name at some point at the draft, Denzel Perryman.
Dave.
All right, here he comes into Studio 66, Bucky Brooks, from Coral Gables, where he actually matriculated. That's pretty cool stuff. Denzel Perryman, what's the poop, fella? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Well, not as good as you, because I'm not about to get drafted and get to play pro football and all that stuff. How's your head dealing with what awaits you in Chicago, Illinois?
Man, I'm just taking it day by day. I'm excited, for Thursday. But, right now I'm just enjoying the process right now.
How cool is it? Are you aware of the fact that the rarity of growing up in a town and then getting to play college ball in that town?
Yeah, I thought about that today. Talking with LeVar Anson earlier today, he was saying pretty much I played, since I was 6 years old, up to this point right now, and I didn't even realize it.
Does that mean that the Miami Dolphins are your natural fan allegiance?
Nah.
No.
No, who's your squad? Who's your squad, like, prior to the draft before you get picked? Like, who's the team? Who's your NFL team?
No team right now.
Oh, my God.
I don't understand. I don't understand human beings that are like
everyone has a favorite team. You have to be passionate about some team that you were passionate about. Okay, well, who's your favorite player?
Ray Lewis.
Okay, so now, at the U, you may not know this about him, but he wears 52. So what kind of pressure at Miami?
Don't embarrass me. I know what number he wears.
You may not know. But what kind of pressure goes with being number 52 at the U when everyone associates that with Ray Lewis?
I wouldn't say it's pressure. You just know you got to put on that number. So no pressure.
Is it what I don't know, actually, has that become a thing at the U now since Ray Lewis departed? Is 52 the magic number, like 55 is at USC? And there are a couple schools that have that magic number like that.
Like Syracuse has 44.
Right.
I guess that's the magic number. I mean,
because you made it a magic number.
I mean,
you made it a magic number.
No, I have my own in 52 jersey.
Okay, so now, Shaq, you may not know this, but I've studied a lot of tape on my
I know family. You have, yeah.
And so the one thing when I talk to scouts, they talk about this is a bad dude on the field. Like when I was at the Senior Bowl, they were talking about you, and some of my boys were like, hey, man, he plays like he is the bully on the block. So when you're on the field, what is your mentality like? When you're controlling the box, playing from tackle to tackle, and really trying to be that enforcer, that menacing presence in the middle?
My mindset, honestly, is though, just get to the ball with bad intentions. So, I let all my instincts and everything, you know, it's just kick in. But, you know, I'm getting to the ball, you know, like a madman.
Yeah, because when I watch you play, he drops the hammer on folks. I mean, he absolutely hits people in the middle. So, if I was to ask you, what are the strengths of your game? Like, what is the one – or two things that when you tell scouts, like, this is what you're getting when you draft Denzel Perryman?
My physicality and my instincts.
What is the – by the way, your physical stature is interesting. Ray Lewis is what? He was 5'11", right? And big, though, but big like you. And then Sean Spence, who preceded you there, also undersized for a guy on the inside. That seems like a trajectory for inside linebackers at the U, huh?
Yeah, I mean, we undersized, but, you know, we get the job done.
See, because he looked at you like...
I know. Don't give me the stink eye.
You kind of called him small in so many words. He looked like he was going to reach across.
You must have heard worse at the combine and everywhere else. What's the craziest kind of question or line of questioning you got from some teams?
At the combine, I think it was from Cincinnati Bengals. I guess, you know, Coach Barrow was friends with, you know, a guy that was working there. And when I was in middle school, I did, like, this little thing called Mr. Core Gables. And... You know,
what is that?
What's Mr. Coral Gables?
I don't know, man. It's almost like you can say a male beauty pageant, man. I didn't know to do that. And he asked me what my talent was. You know, I was kind of embarrassed, but you know, at the time, I did an Old Spice commercial.
Oh,
how about that, huh?
Yeah.
That's your talent? Commercial? Did you have to do it up on the stage for everybody?
In front of like the whole school.
Do what though? Did you go like buy Old Spice? This is how you put it on, classmates. What do you do?
Nah, I did like the legit Old Spice commercial. The one where he was like, oh no, I'm on a horse. That one.
Oh. Do we have video of this somewhere?
Oh my God.
I think you should show that around.
Oh yeah, that's gonna make for a nice rookie show.
Oh yeah, all these NFL teams like the guys who can market their stuff for them. Yeah, that might be right up your alley there.
You know, coming from Miami, you guys are traditionally a 4-3 team. You play Mike linebacker. Ideally, when you go to the pros, what is the perfect system and position for you to play?
I mean, man, we played a 4-3 disguise 3-4. And, you know, throughout my career, I played Mike and Will. So, you know, whether I was in the 3-4 or 4-3, I feel like, you know, Mike will be, you know, the best spot for me.
I know what you're going to say because you're about to get drafted and you don't want to, you know, say anything that might come off weird to the team that takes you. But no jive. Are you, as a Florida boy, are you a little bit worried, like, man, what if I go to the Bears or Green Bay? That'll be rough. I don't want to be up there in the winter.
No, I mean.
Don't listen. No jive, though. Are you a little worried about, like, how you're going to keep warm? What do you do living up in that part of the country?
I mean, at this point, you know, I just have to adjust to it, you know.
Yeah, I guess you're not going to turn them down. I can't make it. I can't live that far north. I'm sorry.
No, the cold weather is certainly an issue, but a big issue.
Was that weird for you, Buck, when you, cause, I mean, you
well,
headed up to
I mean,
Buffalo.
Buffalo and Green Bay, like, real cold.
Is it weird? Is there a part of you that thinks when you hear your name called by one of those teams, like, I don't know if I want to be up there
in
the winter?
It's a challenge. I think the big challenge I wanted to ask you about is a lot of conversation about Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota. You obviously faced Jameis Winston. Talk about what kind of challenges he brings to the table when you're playing against a quarterback like that?
I would say playing against him, you just can't sit back, you know, and cover two. You know, you got to press him. You know, you just sit back there, you know, let him do what he do. Yeah, you know, you bound to lose.
So now y'all jumped out on them pretty good. He wasn't playing outstanding in the first half. In the second half, he dialed it up. When you're playing a quarterback, Shaq and I talked about this last week, sometimes you can feel when a guy's shook, when he's out of rhythm, when they're behind, they throw an interception. What was his competitive mindset like just being on the opposite side, being able to line up at that Mike linebacker and look in his eyes? How did he feel to you in the second half?
Well, watching them, you know, throughout the year, you know, I guess, you know, that was like, you call them a second half team. But, you know, that game, you know, like you said, first half, you know, he really couldn't do nothing. You know, you kind of seen the frustration, you know, in his face, but, you know, he came out second half, you know, like the first half really didn't happen.
A couple things before you go, because you're a busy man today. There, you know, you're doing fancy TV stuff and everything else at NFL Network. Real quick, we're talking to you. What happened with those green uniforms? That really went – for a guy who's a longtime U fan, I assume, before you played at the U, well, I mean, this team used to have the cool white hat with the orange jersey. What with that all green business? That was off the rails in my book.
I mean, I liked the helmet. You know,
you did?
Yeah, I really liked it. The team liked it. You know, a couple of fans, you know, may disagree, but, you know, we liked it as a team.
I could deal with the green jersey, understand, and the white hat, but when it got all green, I didn't even know what I was looking at.
That's something that the youngsters like. They like all that flashy stuff because you had the green with the orange, the bright orange.
But I'm a man of high taste, and that's why I should be able to supersede these decisions. You understand? Are you the question that I'm sure you've been asked in your lifetime? What's the question you've been asked, even though you're a high-profile football player, in your life is what? I know what it is. The number one question throughout your life. Are you named after?
No.
Wait, no.
Actually, I am. I lied. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you are named after him. Yeah, what was that? What was the movie that inspired naming you after one of our great thespians?
I have no clue, but I'd rather my name be Denzel because they're going to name me Sebastian. And
Yeah.
You got to go with Denzel. Like,
yeah, then you would have been Seabass.
Seabass.
Yeah, Denzel's a hard name for your classmates to make fun of. You know, like, that's cool. What's Denzel ever done that isn't cool, right?
Exactly.
And how many Denzels are there besides? Have you met any other ones?
Growing up in Optimus, we always played this team in called South Miami. There was one there, and at one point there was one at my high school.
Denzel, what's your favorite Denzel picture?
I have no clue.
Come on, it has to be Training Day or something like that. Something
Training Day? That's your favorite?
Well, I'm just saying, because he's like a trained killer on the field. I would think something menacing, something intimidating.
That's from now on.
I would say Training Day.
It wouldn't be anything like that. It'd be
Training Day. Remember, but I like where Bucky's head's at because that furthers the intimidating profile that you have. Let's try that again. Training Day. When I ask you that, like, what's your favorite Denzel movie?
Training Day.
Yes.
Yeah, I like
that. Sounds tough.
I like
right.
that.
Remember
yes,
the
Black
Titans,
guy.
Though, is a quintessential, hey, getting ready.
I mean, that's a Disney
type.
Movie. That's like a happy-go-lucky, like, yeah, like I'm Denzel Perryman. I'm the linebacker for the U. I need something where, like, you know, like Training Day is like that.
Please, Black
Officer Hoyt.
But I'm just
like,
saying,
something like.
If you've ever been on the team, at some point your coach probably was like, hey, guys, no practice today. We're just going to watch training. Remember the Titans, right?
I mean, I don't know. Like, we gonna happy clap and all that. Like, that doesn't strike me as something being like South Florida friendly.
Yeah, I would think you can't show football movies to football players because just like when you watch a doctor show, my mother was a nurse, and so if you watch a medical show, she's like, "Oh, that's not what happens. It's for real." Like, if you can't show if you show a football movie to a football team, the whole you must all just be sitting there like, "Oh, that's ridiculous."
Yeah, I would think so. Like, don't you think so?
I agree. Some football movies, they overdo it.
Denzel, you're a big fella. I can see that. I think you have a big future in store for you. I like the attitude. Bucky loves the attitude.
I like the physicality and toughness. I like guys that are menacing presence.
All right. Okay, so we'll let Denzel run out of here right now, and we'll wrap it up ourselves. Have fun on TV, and more importantly, have a good time with the draft. Where are you going to watch it? With the family? Or?
Yeah, I'll be home with the family.
Do me a favor. Sometimes you see this move. Don't make the mistake of hugging your agent before your family. You know? Don't do that. That's a weird move. Like, my agent. No. You know, whoever raised you, that's who gets the first hug, all right?
Good.
All right, good. Be safe. Enjoy yourself. And we'll wrap it up there. Next time we speak, it will be from Chicago, Illinois, the site of the 2015 draft. We look forward to kibitzing with you then. In the meantime, Thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.